mercies will abound. Lift up his name and cast all evil down. Seek the Lord while he may be found. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The hills and mountains seem to understand. All creation will sing over joy. They know his kingdom cannot be destroyed. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. His mercies will abound. Lift up his name and cast all evil down. Seek the Lord while he may be found. His heaven is higher than the highest cloud. So let his people shout their praise aloud. Lift his name above all the land. Celebrate his kingdom is at hand. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. Mercies will abound. Lift up his name and cast all evil down. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek his ways with all your heart and soul. Receive his spirit that you may know. In Jesus all his righteousness revealed. Search him out that you may be healed. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. His mercies will abound. Lift up his name and cast all evil down. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. His mercies will abound. Lift up his name and cast all evil down. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Good morning, everyone. Let's have a seat for a moment. My name is Eric Byram. I'm presiding elder here at Grace Fellowship. Just want to say welcome if you're a visitor this morning. We're so glad to have you. Beautiful day out, isn't it? It's nice enjoying this Memorial Day weekend. And just want to say to all veterans and such, we just honor your service as we think about those that have fallen in battles throughout history to preserve our freedom here this weekend. May this be a good time just to pray for our nation. And thank the Lord also for the freedoms that we have because of those that have sacrificed so much for us to have those freedoms. I want to open us with Psalm 84. I know sometimes getting to church can be tough. Has anyone ever experienced that? Getting little ones out the door, making sure everybody's buckled up, everybody got their shoes on. Yeah, so I want you to take a deep breath and just go, I'm here. I've arrived, right? And I want you to just let this passage soak over you and just put you in the right frame of mind for this morning. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. That sounds like the song we just sang, right? Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So with those words on our minds and in our hearts, let's worship the Lord together.
Prepare your hearts to sing for joy, your hands to clap and praise. Prepare your feet to dance with song and shout before the Lord. My heart will not be still, my Lord, my mouth is open wide. I shout it from the mountaintop, God is on my side. Oh, Lord. saved because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. I know the power of your cross. Forgiven and free forever, you'll be my God. All that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. You are beautiful, you are beautiful. Oh God, there is no one more beautiful. You are beautiful. God, you are the most beautiful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Oh God, there is no one more wonderful. You are wonderful. God, you are the most wonderful. You are glorious, you are glorious. Oh God, there is no one more glorious. You are glorious, God, you are the most glorious. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. Shame because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your shame because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by search the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along, put me back together, and every desire now satisfied here in your love. God of the mountain. He's the God of the valley. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Praise you, Lord.
In the previous song, I was talking about how overwhelmed we can be with God's glory, His presence. He's just amazing. And last night I was reading in this devotional called How Great Thou Art about how he knows every single star in the universe. He knows the sun keeps shining. We can depend on that, that we'll be woken by the sun. Create all those stars and keep track of everything. He can hear our prayers, and He wants us to communicate with Him.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia.
every second and fourth Sunday, we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the table, and it's a time for us to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's a time for us to think about what his broken body means and what his shed blood means for us. It's a time for us to draw together as a family of the Lord. So as we are about to partake of the table, I'd like for us just to take a few moments of silence just to come before the Lord. It's a good time just if there's anything that's standing between you and the Lord. Like Bob was saying earlier, confess that to God. Repent to God. Let him bring healing to those broken areas in your life. So let's just take a moment just to say, Lord, search me and try me. Test me and know my anxious heart. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Just let the Lord run his searchlight over your life right now. If there's any area that you know is not right, I encourage you just to lift that up to him. Bring it into the light. Confess that to him. Let him bring healing, wholeness, and reconciliation and redemption to that area. Heavenly Father, we thank you that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just. Forgive us our sins, but not just forgive us, but to purify us from all unrighteousness, to give us then everything we need for life and godliness. We accept that gift from you now. May it be used to bring you glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the table of the Lord, all baptized believers are welcome to come up. I noticed last time with this new center section, we don't have the center aisle, so I'll give some directions. About halfway in the center section, halfway you guys go this way, this half go this way down these two aisles, okay? And then we'll come up front and then make your way back around to your seats. So I think that will help facilitate it. So the table of the Lord is open, and if you would like prayer, I'd like for the prayer team, those who are on the prayer team, to come up first, and they will be at the back then. It's a great time just if you want prayer for anything in your life to ask for prayer. So prayer team, if you come up first, and then we'll just go by front rows all the way towards the back and come on up and get the elements.
Ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come, ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify through belief and through repentance every grace that brings you nigh. I will arise and go to Jesus. nations, you are high and lifted up. The Lord of all the earth, you are high and lifted up. Creator, Redeemer, I will boast of knowing you. Creator, Redeemer, I will boast of knowing you.
Just take a moment just in prayer. Call out your praises to the Lord. Perhaps he's made you aware of something that you're grateful for and just want to praise him for. Let's do that with sentence prayers to the Lord right now. Thank you. I think of the line from the song that we can boast in you. We can boast in knowing you, the creator of the universe, the one who breathes out galaxies. We know you. And not only do we know you, but we are in relationship with you, and we can go to you at any time, and you hear us. How amazing that the God who created the universe listens to us, little old us. Thank you, Lord, for the relationship you have made possible. We just lift all these praises to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to call forward those who are going to be taking the offering. And we'll be passing around these little square baskets you can put your communion cups in. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us. We give back now with glad hearts and just joyous generosity. May you use this for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to dismiss the kids for Sunday school, but I'd like you to come up here first, fifth grade and below. We're going to pray for you, so come up to the front, kids. All right, let's get you all up here. Did you know that you are a treasure? Did you know each of you is a treasure? You guys are treasures. Let's just extend our hands and pray for them as they go. Lord, bless our kids. May they know you. May they be a blessing, not only to us, but to the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go on to Sunday school. Get signed in by your guardians or parents or whoever you came with. We got a birthday coming up this week. Our worship leader today, Bob Gardner, is going to be 1 year older on the 30th. You can give that to them at the back. We also have an anniversary this week. It's Cameron and Tracy Carter on the 31st. What year anniversary is that? I'm putting you on the spot. 28. Well, congrats on that, you guys. That's exciting. I hope you have a good anniversary. We want to just, I'm going to, at the end of this time, call up the graduates coming up, but I want to first hit a couple announcements. We have a women's Bible study Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the Lion Room. We have various brochures for the camps that are going to be going on this summer, so you can pick up those on the back and be sure to sign up for those. This Saturday is a church work day again, so Mitch will have stuff for you to do. Be sure to come out. What time is that starting, Mitch? 9 o'clock this Saturday. All right, and also this Saturday evening, 6:30 to 8 p.m., we have the family game night with Reach Games. So feel free to come on out, invite someone out. It's a good chance to have fellowship and also to meet people from the Reach Games ministry. We also have one special announcement. Junior high and high school are going to meet for Circle Church in the upstairs. So if you're in the junior high, come on up to the high school today after church for Circle Church. So I'd like to ask the graduates to come forward, those that are graduating from high school. We got Talia and Oliver, Braylon, Aiden, Ireland, and Addison. So if you guys could come up here, just maybe line up right here. I don't know if we have everybody today, but okay, we got a few of you. So let me give this here. If you hand that down to Talia. All right. We got Aiden here. And Addison. We'll get the ones to the others. I want to read to you guys briefly what each one of these plans are, and then we're going to just extend our hands to pray for them and wish them congratulations. So, Talia Guinevere Byram, maybe you didn't know Talia's middle name, daughter of Eric and Laura Byram, and granddaughter of Richard and Nancy Byram and John and Nick Caldwell, graduates from Mansfield Christian School today, May 26th. In the fall, she will attend college at Cedarville University, majoring in pharmacology. Oliver Kramer, son of Marty and Jennifer Kramer, graduates from Mansfield Christian School as well today. He'll be serving as an apprentice to a surveyor. Oliver invites you to his graduation party here at Grace Fellowship Church on Saturday, June 29th from 3 to 6 p.m. Braylon Gardner, son of Bob and Katie Gardner, and grandson of Ray Nethery, graduated from Madison High School Friday evening, May 24th. This summer, he will be working at the Good Shepherd Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Ashland. In the fall, Braylon will start training to become an emergency medical technician. Braylon and his family invites you to the graduation party at GFC next Sunday, June 2nd, from 2 to 4 p.m. So these are in your bulletin if you're not sure of the dates. Aiden Carger here. Aiden, son of Cameron and Tracy Carger, graduates from Mansfield Christian School this afternoon, May 26th. In the fall, Aiden will attend Kent State University and major in aerospace engineering. He invites the church to his graduation party at his home, 3512 Maybe Road, Ontario, on Saturday, June 8th, from 1 to 5 p.m. 1 to 4, okay. If you stick around till 5, you get to help Tracy clean up. So, all right. Ireland O'Connell, daughter of Dan and Melissa O'Connell, graduated from Madison High School Friday evening, May 24th. This summer, she will be working for university hospitals, and in the fall, Ireland plans to attend Bowling Green State University, majoring in pharmacology. Her graduation party is today, Sunday, May 26th, at 3 p.m. at her home, 1144 Hazelwood Drive, and she invites GFC to attend. And last but not least, Addison Carter graduated with his master's degree from Mount Vernon Nazarene University. He also is the son of Cameron and Tracy Carter. He did that May 4th, and will continue finishing up things here this summer, but he earned a master's of business administration degree, and he looks forward to starting a career as a product manager for a Columbus-based company in the near future. So let's honor our graduates. Let's give them a hand right now. Great job. And I guess he wants to take a picture with you guys. And let's all just extend our hands just to pray over them and pray blessing. Lord, we thank you for each of these that have worked so hard and have accomplished a big step in their life this day or in recent days. We pray for your blessing over them. We pray that they may know you, that they would love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, that they would find their vocation and calling in you and be a blessing to this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.
We resemble what we revere. We resemble what we revere, either for ruin or restoration. We resemble what we revere, either for ruin or restoration. So what you and I worship, what you and I put up as the highest good, we will start to look like. Do you realize that? I remember when I was younger, I really liked Michael Jordan, and we had a phrase, be like Mike. You guys remember that? Be like Mike. unfortunately, I didn't start to resemble him in my ability to slam dunk. I tried, but I was stricken with a rare form of white man's disease that I just can't get up. So I just don't have the vertical. I know Travis is working on it, so Travis, maybe you'll break that trend in our family and be a dunker. But, you know, I did revere Michael Jordan and what he stood for, but the bigger deal, what Hebrews is talking about, is we want to have appropriate and acceptable worship of God. We were looking in chapter 12, if you want to turn there with me, the last few weeks, but chapter 12 ends in verse 28 and 29 with a phrase that sets up this whole chapter 13. It kind of tees it up. You know, if you've done golf, you get that ball all ready to go and it's ready to hit. So this verse tees up chapter 13, 28 and 29 of 12 says this: "And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." I don't know about you, but when Matt read that phrase, "our God is a consuming fire," I was kind of like, what does that mean? Did any of you have that feeling? Our God is a consuming fire. What do you think a consuming fire, what does he mean by this? What do you think the author means here? Any of our great scholars among us? Yes. Yeah, so there's that aspect. Did you guys remember what Matt showed us, that picture of the pottery and the kiln? What does the kiln do? What happens if the clay isn't prepared properly? What happens to the clay? Explosion, right? So on one side, it makes the pottery useful. On the other side, it destroys the pottery. So that's like what Judah said. There is an aspect. So what does God accept? If we look at previously said, let us offer acceptable worship because our God is a consuming fire. Let us have that, no bubbles in the clay, because when we come into God's presence with that kind of worship, it will actually destroy us. You know, I think of that quote, we resemble what we revere either for ruin or what? Restoration. So if we offer unacceptable worship, if we revere the wrong stuff, it will destroy you and I. But if we revere the right stuff, we revere God and what he stands for, it will actually make us useful. Okay, so I think that's what that's trying to say. So that's teeing up this whole chapter 13, which is moving away from deep theology to very practical stuff. Okay, so I would say if I was to summarize verse 1 through 6 of chapter 13, and someone wants to say, what was the sermon about this morning? I would say this: cultivate the fruits of acceptable worship. Cultivate the fruits of acceptable worship. So Cameron Carger is going to come up for us, and he's going to read Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. So Cameron, come on up.
Good morning. Hebrews chapter 13, 1 through 6 from ESV. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers.
brotherly love. When we are adopted into the family of God and called children of God, that means that we have a spiritual family. I want you to look at those around you and say, you're my spiritual family. And in some ways, like our physical family, we can't always choose our spiritual family. I mean, in some ways, you chose to come here to Grace Fellowship, but you didn't choose everyone that was here, did you? And you may look at that person next to you or in the other row and you go, I don't know. I have to act like a brother or sister to them. I have to take care of them like I take care of family. Wow, that's a high order. Or maybe you're super overjoyed. I don't know where you fall on that spectrum, but we are a spiritual family here. You have spiritual grandparents. You have spiritual parents. You have spiritual brothers and sisters. You have spiritual kids here. I see every generation represented in our midst. And one of the thoughts of Circle Church is I would love the generations to be represented in Circle Church. So in a sense, when you go to Circle Church after the service, that's like a smaller spiritual family where you're hearing wisdom from spiritual grandparents. And you're hearing other wisdom from spiritual parents. And maybe you're discipling others like a spiritual parent to them. They're spiritual, your spiritual kids. Those of you helping in Sunday school and with the various youth ministries, regarding those kids as your spiritual kids, not just that little annoying child. Your spiritual kids. They're our responsibility. So he's saying, let brotherly love continue. It must have been threatened in their group. And one thing that makes Christians unique is that we do regard one another differently. I've heard it said, look at the people around us. Would this group ever get together except for Christ? We're so diverse. We're so different. A lot of different interests. We might not choose to be friends, but because we are here together, we are family, the family of God. And we have a responsibility. If we're going to live out acceptable worship before God, the fruit of that is going to be that I love the body of Christ. And that's a hard order because is the body of Christ perfect? No. Often, it's more like a hospital than a museum. You know, we're not putting you on showcase saying, look at that great believer. Now, sometimes people are that, but most of us come in here with our own brokenness, our own stuff. Yet we're being called to minister to others with their own stuff. And to also get ministered to for our stuff. Brotherly love is something that we have to make a priority. It has to be purposeful, has to be cultivated. It's not the natural way we would go. We would naturally go towards selfishness, or towards coming to church saying, are you meeting my needs? What are you going to give me? Instead of saying, okay, God, what way do you want me to bless and serve someone here today? You will get stuff, but he is asking also for you to serve and be part of blessing others. So not only does fruit of brotherly love spring from acceptable worship, second fruit is the fruit of hospitality, and I would add the fruit of hospitality to the stranger. When you and I revere God and worship him, we will value love towards the stranger. It's easier to offer hospitality to people we like, to people that are in our family, but to offer hospitality to the stranger is not always very common. And what this part in the book of Hebrews is saying, that we will have hospitality for the stranger. I've heard it said that hospitality opens the door for change. Hospitality opens the door for change. Maybe you've experienced this. When someone comes over, you provide a safe, welcoming place for them. You get engaged in eating food and conversation. They're a lot more open to hear your story. You're a lot more open to hear their story. And those stories bring change to us. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. But it brings about change. And I would argue, usually for the better. So when someone is welcomed in and given a safe space for fellowship, change can happen in their life. So Grace Fellowship, how are we doing at offering hospitality to the stranger? Do you only, when you come to church, do you only greet the people you know? Do you only hang with your circle group? Do you only go after your Now let's expand it in other realms. How are you hospitable to the stranger out and about? So I want to elicit some responses. What might it look like for us to show hospitality to the stranger? What are some ways that God has moved you to do that? Let's hear some responses here. What was that? Smiling. That's a good one. Doing the Ohio wave, right? Yes, Mitch. Mitch, you're amazing at that. I went on a trip to Nepal with Mitch, and he was talking to the people next to him on the airplane when we were sitting there waiting for stuff. Mitch, you're good at this. You're very good at this. So talk to him about that. He's good at hospitality towards a stranger. Any other thoughts? Dan? Shaking hands and eye contact. Yeah. Yeah, helping someone with a disabled. Have you ever met someone in need and it is kind of hard? It maybe takes you out of your schedule. You were on your way somewhere. You had somewhere to be, something to do, and there's the stranger. Has that ever happened to you guys? And you're faced with a choice in that moment, right? Do I pretend I don't see him and keep going, or do I stop and help? Or sometimes maybe you're even hit up. I mean, we don't have this happen very often here in Mansfield, but I remember when I was in San Francisco, I was taking a course out there. I had to walk every day, and I was stepping over homeless people on the street. I was constantly being asked for help. And I could get callous and ignore it, or I could maybe try to do something about it. But it was a pain at times. It was not in my comfort zone. I want to share one story. I remember I was at this one conference, and I was out and about, and this man came up to me, and he said, I need to get a train ticket to New York, and we were down in southern New Jersey. And I was kind of like, huh. You know, I had maybe $20 in my wallet, and I remember I talked to this other pastor. He happened to just be right there, and I said, hey, can you help me out here? And we went, and we got him a train ticket to New York, got him on the train there, and sent him off, and I was kind of like talking to a guy, and I was like, well, what if he's using that, you know, what if he didn't need that? What if he's just mooching off us and all stuff? And I remember what that other pastor said to me. It was very good. He said, Jesus is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Maybe you know that verse. Jesus is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So sometimes you may say, I don't know if I want to help the stranger. They're going to take advantage of my hospitality. They're going to take advantage of me. That's that to the Lord. Ask him for wisdom. Sometimes he will give you wisdom. There are a lot of rackets out there. Ask for wisdom about that. But are you and I growing with compassion towards the stranger? That will result as we look to God, and God is highest. He cares about that, and we will begin to care about that. That will begin to be a fruit in our lives. Yeah. And what does this passage say about that? Some have entertained angels unaware. I also think of another passage where Jesus says, if you do things for the least of me, even if you offer a drink of cold water, you are offering it to who? Me. So you are serving Christ himself. So that's something for us to consider. Do I regard the stranger as if it were Christ himself and how I show them hospitality? If you and I can put that in our heads, that will change how you view them. So we look at the idea of fruit of brotherly love and fruit of hospitality to the stranger. Third fruit is the fruit of active care for prisoners and the persecuted. Fruit of active care for prisoners and the persecuted. In the context of the audience of the book of Hebrews, they were regularly having their property confiscated, their resources taken. So there were people in their midst that were destitute because of persecution. There were people in their midst that had gone to prison for their faith. Now, we don't necessarily experience that a ton here, do we? I've been to some countries in the world where that is happening. And you have to identify sometimes with those in prison. And in these places, when you identify with someone in prison, you're also taking some risk upon yourself. Because in identifying with them, you might also be accused of the same thing and get thrown in prison or have your own property confiscated. So it's saying here, remember those who are in prison. It's like keep them ever in your mind. That word for remember there is keep it front of mind, top of mind. if you were in prison yourself, as if you were getting the stripes across your back. So this is more than just empathy. This is reaching out and helping those that are on the fringes. Well, what might be those type of people here for us? Any thoughts? The homeless? Those struggling with drug addiction? Maybe those that are homebound and can't get out? What is that? The incarcerated, yeah. You know, if you've never gone to visit people in the prison, a good person to talk to is Jerry. Jerry's done that. He could give you some advice. Steve Phillips has done that quite a bit. It'd be great to hear their testimonies of how God has used them to minister to prisoners. We used to have a Bible study that went to the Community Alternative Center, and several of you were involved with that. There's innumerable ways for you and I to reach out to those that are imprisoned to various things, right? And those that are on the edges. And if you and I are worshiping God, acceptable worship, God will transform our hearts that we begin to care about those aspects of society. All right, so the next one, we looked at the fruits of brotherly love, hospitality, and active care for prisoners and the persecuted. The fourth fruit is the fruit of sacred sex. Oh, he said the S word. So, in the society of the audience of the Hebrews, sex was not considered sacred. It was recreational often. Many men had multiple mistresses. That was kind of winked at in that society. Doesn't sound that different from our society, does it? You know, our society sort of regards sex as recreational, as a right, as, you know, we can do whatever we want with it. And what the writer of Hebrews here is saying is that rather than sex being promiscuously offered, it is reserved for marriage only. And that if you and I revere God and we worship God, that is how God views sex, and that will affect how you and I view sex. Our worship will affect the bankroll in the bedroom. Our worship will affect the bankroll in the bedroom, right? So it's not just about worship on Sunday. Worship will affect how you and I live our lives, even in the private areas of our lives. So how do you regard sex? Have you let society form how you regard sex, or have you let God's word inform? What I love here is, you know, this is worded in the positive, right? A lot of times we think God's against sex. God is some sort of like Victorian prudishness. But no, it says, let the marriage bed be held in honor among all. This is a good thing in this context. Like Judea had said earlier, fire, right? And I use this analogy a lot. Fire in the fireplace is good. Fire in the middle of the living room floor, not good. Right? So he's saying, let that fire be where it's supposed to be, where it will best be served and used for its best. So we've looked at the fruits of brotherly love, hospitality, active care for prisoners, and the persecuted and sacred sex. And what's interesting is this last one is what gets the most airtime in this passage. The most airtime. The fruit of contentment and trust. The fruit of contentment and trust. The issue of contentment and trust takes up the largest portion. It begins with this idea of keeping our lives free from the love of money. We see that the love of money is the opposite of contentment and trust of God. Have you ever thought about that? Love of money is the opposite of contentment and trust. I don't know if we've always said these things are equal. Love of money is the opposite of contentment and trust. There's two passages quoted here from the Old Testament to back up this idea that contentment comes from trust in the Lord, that he will not leave us or forsake us, and that he will be our helper. So this leads to a humble confidence to walk with God, whatever the circumstances, to us privately or publicly. So how do you and I know if we're living a contented life? What are some ways you've seen that with people? How do you know if we're living a contented life? Tom. Oh. shopping after you ate a meal. Is that a different experience than if you go before you ate the meal? So if you go after a meal, you're content. That Hershey bar is not as good looking as maybe before you went, or whatever it is, the impulse buy. But a lot of stores, they're banking on your impulse buys, right? Even where they put it on the shelves. So if you and I are content, that means we're satiated. We're filled. Jerry has given out a lot of these books, the Gospel Primer. And I remember one of the entries in the Gospel Primer says, the best way to mortify the flesh, that sounds like some King James language there, right? What is mortifying the flesh? Yeah, dying to your base instincts. One of the best ways to do that is to be filled with the gospel. To realize the richness you have in Christ, that he's given you everything you need for God, life and godliness. To be so filled with God that temptation comes along, you're like, nah, I'm okay. It's like you ate and you went to the grocery store versus you're starving and you went to the grocery store. So are you and I filling up with the gospel daily? Are you filling up with all that you have in God? You know, these people in Hebrews, they were getting their property and money confiscated. If they were grasping at or found their security in money, they would probably be leaving the faith in order to not have their property confiscated. We're not quite there in the U.S., but I want you to put yourself in that frame of mind. If it meant getting persecuted to be walking with Jesus, that you might lose your job, your status, your money, that hard-earned house you're paying for, or that nice car, would you stop saying you're a Christian? It's a hard question to ask. That will kind of begin to show, where is your trust? Do you really trust God, or do you trust in your stuff? Jesus said, will you either serve God or money? We can't serve both. Yet many Americans try to do that. Try to serve both. You might say, well, Eric, is that saying, are you saying I got to go out and sell everything and give it to the poor? Maybe, I don't know, whatever God's telling you to do. But this is not saying it's bad to have money. It's saying the love of money. And I say, go to 1st or 2nd Timothy. He gives instructions at the very end of it. I think it's 1st Timothy. How, if you are rich, how to handle your riches. Maybe let's turn there. Do you guys have your Bibles? Let's look at Timothy. I believe it's 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy. Let's try that one. Yeah, 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. I love how he says that which is truly life. You know, society says, you got money, that's life, right? The high life. They say, no, that money is to be used as a resource, not as your trust in that, but you use that to bless others. So a good question to ask yourself, if you're wondering if you're living contented and not having the love of money, is how generous are you? Do you often seek to use your money to bless others? Or is your preoccupation with your money to get security or to bless yourself? If you were to look at what percentage of your money is actually used to bless others, would you be embarrassed to show others? Or would you feel like, okay, that's good? This is between you and the Lord, but I encourage us to ask that question, because the love of money is very easy to fall into, especially for Americans. We are the richest people in the world. Do you realize that? We are the richest people in the world. I remember when we were in Central Asia, I was riding with a taxi driver, and he said to me, if I could only make $1,000 a month, all my problems would be resolved. That's $12,000 a year. Anybody making more than $12,000? I hope so. Maybe if you're a teenager, you're not. But $12,000 would be a pretty not great salary here in America. This guy's saying, like, if I could only make $12,000 a year, it's kind of like someone here saying, if I could only make six figures, all my problems would be resolved. So it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Such meeting places become dance floors on which we move to the music of God's will, on the one side, or a stage of games on which we play at Christianity with dichotomized, hypocritical hearts. It can become a dance floor where we move to God's music, or it can become a stage where we play at being a Christian, right? And he says, every day, God wants us and wants us to meet him in the nitty-gritty wonder, the plain and exalted dance of the everyday. So this passage is showing you how to do that. To not play at being a Christian, but to actually live out the fruits of what it means to worship God, not whatever else we might want to worship. So let's seek to cultivate the fruits of acceptable worship in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to worship the right things. We want to worship you. Not what you give us. Not spiritual gifts. Not what the world promises is success. We want to worship you and you alone. We want to abide in you. And Lord, may these fruits we looked at today become evident in our lives. May they be cultivated in our lives. May we hold them as valuable things to pursue after with our time and our resources, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to stand here for a benediction, and then you can go to Circle Church after this. Junior hires, remember, you're going upstairs with the senior high. All right, so we just stand here at Grace Fellowship with our hands up to receive the blessing. So let's go forth today actively cultivating the fruits of acceptable worship in your life. Cultivate the fruit of brotherly love that seeks to engage in the family of God in healthy ways. Cultivate the fruit of hospitality towards the stranger that seeks to step outside your comfort zone to welcome in the one on the outside. Cultivate the fruit of active care for prisoners and the persecuted by putting yourself in their shoes and caring for them as you would want to be cared for. Cultivate the fruit of sacred sex by honoring the marriage bed and holding sex in high regard. Lastly, cultivate the fruit of contentment and trust in God.